my spoken Spanish, the oral type, the grammatically is correct, because when I was growing up, I was going to the Baptist church, and there it's nothing but sermons. Mm-hmm. And of course, these men are ministers, and they're well educated. So the Spanish that I heard socially was correct. And my mother was educated in a convent, and her Spanish is correct. It's not the slangy, the type that you hear in the streets, that, and then the type that I hear that I can hardly understand. And usually they speak much too fast. But in my case, I don't speak Spanish that way, because I'm not. I have to think about it before I speak. You understand? I will almost, if they train me, I will have to review a lot of the Spanish. Because since I went to college over at Valley JC, it's been 10 years. There, the classes were conducted, were they in Spanish? I took conversational Spanish. That was all Spanish. The teacher spoke only Spanish. And I can't remember, I think, yes, the teacher spoke English, but there was an awful lot of Spanish spoken, and I was right in there. I was called upon an awful lot to read and to work, and then, too, I learned a lot about the correct grammar, you know.
Are you interested in getting, I don't know how to say
A divorce?
Well, I was going to ask you if you were interested in getting more back in touch more with your Mexican heritage, if that was at all something.
I've gotten so far away from Mexico, and you know, after being around Anglos as long, I'm a little on the unique side, because I didn't marry a Mexican. If I had married a Mexican, his family would have been Mexican. And even though there is a lot of trouble in the Mexican communities, there are different levels, you know, of pride, let's put it that way, and there are a lot of hurt feelings, and the men are desperately trying to make something of, the ones who I knew anyway, make something of their lives, but still there's that hurt. It's there, and I don't think they make good husbands because of the hurt. And two, they don't really want Mexican wives, because they feel then that they're going to have Mexican children, and the cycle continues, and that's not very healthy either. You understand? So, in a way, I think maybe I was caught up in that vicious little circle too, and made a mistake, married outside of my race, and brought a lot of this upon myself. But then it was just something I did. I was either pushed into it. My mother just was so crazy about Roy, and everything seemed right. His mother liked me. It was an experiment in a racially mixed marriage, and it's been difficult. As far as trying to get back, I will never give up my Mexican girlfriends, but they are Anglo-sized. They work in good-paying jobs. One of them worked in Federal Reserve. At the Federal Reserve Bank in accounting. She had a responsible job. She does not identify with the type of Mexican woman who stays home she was a career girl. Very aggressive. Loves money. Wants to be rich. I still keep in touch with her. She's my best friend. She's my very best friend. However, we have many differences, because she didn't have any children. And so we are worlds apart in that respect. But that's Vicky, the one that I met. And she doesn't speak any Spanish at all. She speaks only English, and her English is perfect. Because I have more of a problem, because every once in a while I'll slip. You know, there's a little bit of a, some of the Spanish comes through, but not in her case. And also with, now Connie, her mother was born in this country, so she, the generations progress, and they become more Anglicized than I. But I have mixed with them, and now Jeannie and I took a trip back to Guadalajara, and I told you that Jeannie was just shocked because everybody was speaking Spanish, and we didn't identify with them. I'm sorry to say, because although they are my people, I think differently now. Or always did, because I was born and raised here. I was not in an environment where we were pressed together only with the Mexicans. We had Armenians, we had, this was Depression days, we were international. And we were proud of that. We were proud of the fact that we could get along with any nationality. We made a big fuss over that. And so we felt in those days that that's the way life was. And now it's different. It's very different. The politics have turned. And now they're worried about the influx of the immigrants from Mexico. And of course, they're very, very much behind. I've talked to them, but I can, all I, the best thing they can do is go back. And I tell them so. Times are not like they were when my parents came here. They had a better chance of surviving in another country. And they had it hard. They were running away from a revolution, so they had a different state of mind. Their dignity was not, they had a dignified reason for getting away. These people feel they have one foot in Mexico and one foot here. I know, because I've talked to them. They're not here to stay. They are here to work for a while. They have absolutely no plans to become citizens or to contribute to the government in any way. You know, they just want to make some money. They send it home to their families. And to them, they're just sacrificing a little bit of themselves. This is how they really look at it, for the dollar. Then they go back. So they're not putting roots down here. How can I identify with that? With what you've heard from me? I was not raised that way. I don't have family in Mexico. I'm not sending money to anybody there. I have a cousin in Mexico who is wealthy, and she wouldn't think of coming to this country. She doesn't need it. Her ego is intact. It's Mexican. And she's dying, by the way. She has cancer.
What about the Mexican-American community that's here? That isn't, you know, the group that isn't sending money back and that are citizens?
Oh, well, that's a different story. Those are the ones that I grew up with. They had every intention of being solid citizens. The girls, anyway, the fellows went off to war, and when they came back, they felt that they were veterans and that they were entitled to the GI benefits. Now, I'm just talking about the superficial Mexican. I know from experience that there are different personality traits that are there from heritage, that I was disillusioned by. I went with Mexican men, boys, young men, boys, and I really, my heart was all with them during the war, and I wrote to them, and when they came back, they were very confused. And I lost faith in them after so many years. And I felt that they were just not going to get anywhere. And this was a very young girl making a decision like this. But I was working, by then I was working at Sterling Electric Motors. The fellows that had come out of the war were leaps and bounds ahead of the Mexican boys, because they were lost more, even more, than the regular GI. I think, in a more personal way, my brother, who was a Mexican and a bombardier, was so bitter because they had called him every name imaginable. You know, they're mean. They called him a spick, and they called him a greaser. And here he's an officer, but the officers were doing they did this to undermine him for the women, because they were fighting over the women to see which one was going to get what woman. And he was a married man, but he was out there fighting for the women too. They all cheat on their, every man cheats on his wife. And so when he came back, he was already married to Canadian. What is it? A French Canadian. And no, he would not marry a Mexican girl. That's why I say that, because he said he didn't want Mexican children. And of course, that I figured the same way. Eventually, and the Mexican men, boys, who were going to college, were already beginning to eye the American girls. I mean Anglo girls, the blondes. You take an Italian, you take any Latin, the French, they love blondes. You know that? And they will become slaves to these women. They really do. They put them on a pedestal. To them, they are like angels. They are so hot-blooded. They have such tempers that the blonde in a woman and the blue eyes and the fair skin eases that tension that they have and calms them. You know that? My brother says that. He hates dark women because I think that he sort of feels that they're too much like him. Whereas I didn't look at the skin. I looked more at character, at personality, and no, I went out with the men who were dark-skinned, with the dark hair and the brown eyes. But if they were intelligent and interesting, and if they had some quality that I could admire, then I liked them. I didn't care about the color of the skin. But the people today that I meet, and believe me, they're desperately looking for work, and I see them everywhere. They're not trying to become American or to become Anglo-sized like we were. They want to go back to Mexico with a little money. And it's creating a problem politically. And I hate to be identified with them, because I will say hate, because it really restricts my future. It really does. I'm sorry to say, because everything that I've ever tried to do is compared to a person who is fresh from another country, and is just I feel that I'm being put down. And as soon as I get that feeling, then I get a little nervous, because then I feel that I have to prove myself, and I get a little tired of it. So I have a lot of problems. It is then that I think, oh, I guess I won't get a divorce. when I feel that there is no other option, that the world will not accept me, and they're not ready for me, then if I have no money coming, or that I cannot to earn it, because there is a certain amount of racial discrimination, and it overlaps over to me, that closes a lot of doors. So tomorrow I'm going out on another interview. And after that, I'm going to have lunch with a very old girlfriend of mine who knows me. Now, she's Polish. she was one girl, you know, I met in Panorama City, the one who got a divorce because her husband was acting up, shall we say. And she hates him very much. But anyway, she is now retired from Vandy Camps and going crazy. So she called me yesterday and she wanted me to have lunch with her tomorrow. So I told her about my interview and she was so happy. She says, well, let's have lunch after your interview. And she says, you'll need a little relax. We'll have a glass of wine somewhere. You can tell me what happened. Now she's Polish, full-blooded Polish. So when I told her in Panorama City, well, you know, I'm Mexican, you know, because my skin is fair, and I don't have the how can I say it? I don't act Mexican. They used to tell me that, and I felt obliged to tell people, well, I'm Mexican, because if you have any racial biases, stay away from me, you know. So I just put it out in front, you know. So being new in Panorama City, I just was telling everybody, well, I'm Mexican. If you don't want to come around me, now is the time. I don't want any, you know, later on, I don't want any problems. But then we were all just trying to get along. She says, you're Mexican. She says, you think you've got problems? She says, I'm Polish. And she was from St. Louis, and I guess there were a lot of racial problems there with the Polish. And then somebody else would tell me, well, you think you got problems? I'm Jewish. And the women, and they were talking about what they had done to them in Germany and all of the, when you stopped, we had gone through a phase where we all thought we could get along together regardless of our nationalities. We were judged by our character, by efforts, and all that was wiped away. And as we grew older, and we realized that we were really judged by the color of our skin and by what tag we were tagged with at birth. And we now, Stella, when she told me, she said, Polish. I said, what's the matter with the Polish? I had no idea that people felt that there was, now they make jokes about them. And the more I hear, I realize that they do make phone. They think they're dumb. They think there's something missing in their head, in the brains. And that was one of the reasons why the Pope was assigned to be Pope, because he is Polish, right? But anyway, she's one girl who has, this is Stella, who has a complex because she's Polish. So we have that in common. And I find that as I grow older, I am looking for people who have complexes. So that, you have a complex? I have a complex. I am no longer looking for winners. It was a time when I was a winner because I didn't know that. Remember that when I thought I was a winner, when I thought that I was a winner, there was a lot of racial prejudice in Germany building up, and Hitler was going to form the master race, and there were things that we didn't know were happening in the world. This is world politics. And I think the Japanese are very shrewd. When I stopped to think that how smart they played it, they made us think that they were dumb. If you only knew. We didn't take them seriously at all because they were such a small nation. And America didn't pay them anything for their products. And there was a lot of trouble there. But they were Japanese. What would they do? Dumb Japanese. Look at them today. They played our game. They played dumb after we won the war. Let's get to that. We were the victors. And we thought that we were, the victors. And the Japanese played our game. They learned the ways of the giants, the Americans. And now they practically own us. And nothing's going to stop them. Even now, even this morning, they had a talk on the Today Show about how are we going to stop them from making so many cars. They're putting them... big, giant corporations out of business. And they talk a lot about, yes, we're going to stop, but they don't. And so they are buying property, and they own a lot of, not only here in California. I'm not putting them down, really, because they are very intelligent people. We just didn't give them credit. I mean, America. I know that there probably will be Japanese people listening to this. And I hope I haven't hurt anybody. Have I? Please forgive me if I have. Oh, dear God. Did I say something?
No.
Because, you see, we fought the war, you know. I mean, you're brainwashed. We are all brainwashed. The people are brainwashed. We were brainwashed into going into a war by Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill and the powers that be. We didn't know what we were getting into. We didn't know what we were fighting for. They misled us. England got us into it because they needed help. They were losing the war. England never pulled out of it. They have their problems. And yet, here we are. So English. We're still living in the past. The British Empire is no longer the British Empire. They don't have... they're all coming over here. Talk of... my brother's third wife was from England. And she considered herself very superior because she's British and she had the British accent. And... the fact that they're practically starving to death in England sent her here. But you see, to them, it's a step down because they are superior. And this is our this is the problem of the human race. We can talk about races, but the human race has got a problem because everyone wants to be better than their neighbor. And until that is settled, until we learn to get along with one another, until we go back to the days when we were taught that we were one international group and we must learn to get along with one another or we will destroy one another. This world will not last. I don't know how it's going to stop, but unless we stop fighting, if we don't find a way, we will destroy ourselves.
Gloria, how do you feel about the women's movement today?
I've always been a feminist. My mother was a feminist. You don't need to ask me that question.
I want to hear you say
that. Certainly. I think that the women have kept the men from destroying this earth. We are the ones who the hand that rocks the cradle. The woman is the woman who has tempered men from killing each other. You have a son. Don't you think that you would stop him from killing a man, a woman? I have a son. I feel that way about, you know, tempering that animal instinct in them, and we have it too. We're women, and we're and I darn near killed him and his bitch, you know. And I'm a feminist, so she was a feminist. This woman that had her little flame. She was more of a feminist than I. Because I don't have the stomach for that type of thing. I would like to think that women can have an effect on life and be honorable and be honest. If there are institutions, let's respect them. You know.
How do you feel about the Equal Rights Amendment?
I've given that a lot of thought. Inasmuch as I was raised the way, I have to go back to that. You see, I almost joined the... I think I had almost said, what was it, either the Marines? I wanted to work in the office. I figured that's what they were doing, the Army. I didn't want to join the Navy for some reason. I think by then I didn't like sailors. You see, this is going back. They were a little too wild. I had a lot of respect for the Marines. I felt that the Marines were winning the war. And I felt that the Marines had the best of the men. And I felt the best of the men would have the highest qualities. So I was leaning towards the Marines. So if a girl of 18 is thinking of joining the Marines, don't you think that I'm a feminist? I certainly am. And it took a lot of guts to try and be to put aside to put aside my ambitions. You know, I would have liked to have had some help from my mother. I wish women would help more women. I think women need to help women. I think men help men an awful lot and then have fun with the women. I don't think women are as strong that yet in helping one another. I think you are, but you've grown from what you have said to me, that your girlfriends help you. And if we could keep going in that direction and keep it clean, for God's sakes. I hate to hear the smut that comes out of men's mouths because they don't want to lose their maids. And they start calling names. And that's the reason why I don't want to bring a gutter talk or anything like that into the conversation. Oh, he's the first one. Any woman who doesn't go along with what he thinks is a lesbian. And that's what they will all say. Because they don't want to lose their maids. I'm not a lesbian. In fact, after Vicky, who is the girlfriend that I grew up with and who taught me how to speak English, and I was very indebted to her, and I told you that she was the one who nominated me for office. All of that went to my head. I really thought I had a chance. But anyway, we went this way, forks in the road. We parted roads when I got married and she got married. Everything went well. But then when I started with my children to have a family, she didn't really want to be with me because she hates kids. When you don't have children, you cannot stand children, especially even your very best friend's children, because you don't know anything about them and they bore you. And she had another world. So we put the friendship more or less on ice, and yet we kept in touch. Okay, my kids are all grown. This is another side of my life. And now she is retired and she's bored, and we're getting closer together. So when we started to visit, well, she had heard it all working at Federal Reserve, from not only the divorced women, but the spinstresses or the career women, college women, Federal Reserve hires. intelligent women. She started out just as a regular machine operator, working the computer, not a computer, but the comptometer, I think. But then she worked her way on up into accounting. She happens to be very good at math. We're opposites in that respect. I do the talking, she does the numbers. I used to go to a stadium. You can give her a column of numbers this old, this long, and she just goes right down. Some people are just gifted that way. But anyway, she lesbians were working over there at Federal Reserve, and she had gotten very antsy about them. She said that she finally had to figure out which ones were lesbians and which ones weren't, because she didn't want to have anything to do with them. So here I am, after she's about ready, when I find out she's about ready to retire, I'm getting closer, and I can't wait for her to retire so we can go out, get together and have lunch. And she starts talking about all these lesbians, you know, like her boss is a lesbian. She calls them les, the les. She's a les. She's very flip. And I got a little tired of it. And so I said, Vic, I said, you know, I don't know any lesbians. And I have never been, you have to be approached by lesbians, I think. And I said,